Turn with me back to Ezekiel 2, and we'll finish up with this mission preparation that Jehovah had Ezekiel in. And it was a mission preparation for Ezekiel out of the land. You know, Jeremiah was God's spokesperson in the land. Now Ezekiel has been given these sights and scenes that he tried to describe, and I think he did a pretty good job. But yet we still don't realize, I think, all of the great implications of the things that we see of God's great glory and what he has made to do that and to complete that work that he started when he and his son decided to create. And this is study 88 on the word walk. And I know we haven't used walk much, but in this study there is a lot of stuff said there about being sent and going, and that translates again into Yolak also, which means to walk the way that God directs. And certainly we need to remember that as we get involved with our study tonight. You know, we left off the last time with the better news of the mission of encouragement, verses 6, 7, and 8, in second chapter of Ezekiel, gives us a little better news than we've had up to that point. And it says, and we'll just go back to 6 and read 6 again. And it says, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them." Because here he was getting Ezekiel ready to go out to the hard-hearted, the stiff-hearted, the impudent, those that were shameless and bold, those that were stubborn and would not listen to God. And he says, you know, this is where I'm going to send you. And in verse 6, we said, "Be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, be not be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." And you know, we made, kind of made light of that verse of scripture because it reminded me of an old southern child story about the fox and Brer Rabbit in the Uncle Remus tales. And this is here, we look at this and we see that Jehovah is about to throw Ezekiel into the thorns and the briars and the scorpions and the things that hurt. So he is going to see and get that involvement there that I think a lot of times that when I look back and remember that little story, it reminds me that, well, maybe someone had read this and had it understood that this was kind of the same situation that Ezekiel was in. He said, "Be not afraid of them. They don't have any fear or dread of those that are in exile over here in Babylon. I'm going to take care of it for you." He says, "Neither be afraid of their words. Don't fear their threats or their speeches or whatever that comes your way." He said, "Though briars and thorns be with thee," and these are the resemblance of those things that hurt. You know, when God put the curse upon the land and put Adam away from the garden, he said, you know, you're going to have to deal with these things. And we still deal with those things. And he said, also, thou dost dwell among scorpions. And they are the, what I call the foot stingers. They're the ones that don't seemingly bother you too much until you step on one, and then he is going to retaliate. And they are a kind of a formidable foe when you see them walk across the floor. We have them here in the South quite a lot. And he says, be not afraid of, don't fear or dread the threats of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Don't be swayed of these people that are in exile there, of their appearance. Because, you know, normally the appearance can tell you a lot, but it doesn't really hurt. They have to be some altercations there that goes on in order for the appearance to make right what you know you get the view from. So it's kind of like a coiled snake. You know, if you see a coiled snake, he's there to do you harm if you get close enough. And but he says, you know, just that appearance of a coiled snake is not going to do anything as long as you keep your distance. So that's kind of what I gather from this verse of Scripture. It said, though they be a rebellious house. And Ezekiel is continually being told this by Jehovah, that these people are a revolting bunch, that they would not heed any lawful authority that God placed before them, before he sent them away by an enemy army. And they just didn't get it. Even that, they didn't get it. And so they're, as it says, impudent. They're shameless and bold, and they're stubborn. And I think the word says stiff-hearted. But we'll get into that a little more as we get into our study, because there's reason it calls people stiff-hearted or hard-hearted. And we'll get involved in that before we get out of the study tonight, I certainly hope. Okay, and so we get down to verse 7. And this is what we didn't really get involved in last week, but let's read 7. And it said, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or, and there's that or, there, so it's either or. It's got to be one way or the other. Okay? It says, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. So Jehovah is not leaving anything out with Ezekiel. He is getting him really prepared for the things that he's going to have to go and tell these folks. And if they don't heed the words, he may have to take it upon himself, you know, to render the wrath of God upon some. And he says, and thou shalt speak my words unto them. There is nothing less, nothing different. This was the same thing that Jeremiah that had been put before him. There was nothing less, nothing different. Or whether they will hear, if whether they'll listen or heed. So evidently some are going to. And it says, or whether they will forbear. And, you know, I'd never looked up forbear. But what it means basically is to abstain and to refuse to hear. They did not want to know. They had gotten to a point where they did not want to know anything of God's greatness. They couldn't see the greatness of God because they couldn't hear his words to understand them. And oh, how great the Holy Spirit is for us, that the Spirit can impart unto us this understanding, that we can hear. And with that hearing, we get understanding, we get knowledge. And we can see how great truly God is, to abstain or to refuse to hear. It says, for they are most rebellious. And that's another way of saying what he's been telling him. They have turned from the lawful authority and the will of God. That's the reason they're in exile. That's the reason they're where they are. And that's the reason they're having to go through these problems in a strange country because of what they had done and are continuing to do. And, you know, when we look and we realize, well, we can say, well, God, you chose them. And he certainly did. He chose that nation through Abraham, but yet, when it comes right down to it, it seems like the fallen one has got the edge on what he can offer. Because when they don't hear God's word, then they don't really see what God has to offer. But here, this day and age, we do. We know. He has given us those things. Verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and eat that I give thee. Well, we're reading along, and again here we see that he's talking about Ezekiel being the son of Adam, being the son of man. So he says here, or listen to what I say or what I speak unto you, because it's going to be important, very important, because these other people are not getting it. Okay? So, he says, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. So, he didn't want Ezekiel getting involved with them to the point to where that he would become lawless. And where he would be the same as the lawless group that he was sending them to. So he said, look, when I throw you into the briar patch, I want you to pick the briars out and continue on doing my word and work. Okay? So, and so the remaining of this verse 8, this verse 8 is a two-part verse. And the rest of verse 8 goes along with verse 9 and eventually 10. So he just out of the blue, I like the way that Jehovah does this. He says, open thy mouth and eat. He didn't say open thy mouth and speak here. He said, open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. So all of a sudden we've changed gears right in the middle of a verse, okay? So the opening of the mouth is not yet to speak, but it is for consumption. You know, we speak with our mouth, but we also consume these wonderful things of God with our mouth, because in that mouth we have that spirit of taste. We have that sense, if you will, that God gives us of taste. So here is, and this is not the first place that God uses something for man to eat that's not normally food. He says, but eat that I give thee. So here, it is a way to receive knowledge. Because it says over there that the word of God came to Ezekiel in his ears. He heard. The Holy Spirit wasn't dwelling within him, but he was going to give him something that would change his inward parts. And it was going to be this roll or scroll that we're going to talk about a little bit. So here you see the preparation of his mission is continuing on for Ezekiel. It's becoming a new thing. Now if we go to Revelation 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, and we won't do it tonight for time's sake, because I'd like to get a little further over into Ezekiel 3. But if you'll go back sometimes and look at Revelation 10, 9, 10, and 11, you will see that this is one other place, and they are more places, that people have eaten that God provided and described how it was. And I think this is not different, really. So opening the mouth was not to speak but to eat. It was a way to receive knowledge. And Ezekiel was going to receive this knowledge that was written down on this scroll, or this roll, we call it. And we get down to verse 9, and he says, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. That's all he saw, you know, was a hand. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. So, I'm sure it got his attention. And I am sure he gave it some thought right quick there. And it says, and when I looked. So he looked to see what he was going to have to intake, what he was going to have to eat, because he had already been told he had to eat, or was to eat. And so, you know, I guess like most of the Jews, and they were picky about what they did eat. So when he saw the hand, and when he was given the order to open the mouth, and what he was really in a I think, in a little thing about, you know, what is this? So the behold there was emphasis. It says a hand was sent to me. So the emphasis is on the hand and what the hand held. So the behold was necessary to give us that for understanding within that verse, that emphasis. And he says, and lo, again, for emphasis, a roll of a book was therein. So the roll of a book was a scroll. You know, that's what they had at that time. It was the scroll work. And it was held within the hand that had been sent by God to Ezekiel. And so now he sees what it is he's going to have to intake within his system, in his body. And then we get down to verse 10. And he says, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Okay. So it says, and he spread it out before me. Oh, Jehovah laid it out before Ezekiel. You can see the picture. But it was kind of unusual in that day and time, because it says it was written within and without, on both sides. And this is contrary to the usual custom, which was within only. And there's a note in the CB about that too. It says, contrary to the usual custom, within only, to show the abundance and the completeness of his prophecies. And it's backed up by Revelation 5:1. And the Lamentations there, if you read the rest of that, reads lamentation. It is singular and not plural in this instance. So the usual custom was to write on one side of the scroll only, not on both sides. So you see, and it says, and there was written therein. So it contained these three things that's mentioned here within that roll written on both sides. It's lamentation. And that is 7015 in the Hebrew, in the Strong. And I've always said, after you get above 6500 there, it seems as if new words had to be added. From 65 to about 84, 85, every 100, every how many is there. It seems like that these words wasn't needed maybe early on, but they were needed. The closer it got to the Lord coming, to the Lord showing up as a baby or as a child there with them growing up to the age of 30 years, it seems like it's a lot of these words, after you get past about 6,500, it seems like they needed to be new words added to make, you know, to clarify a lot of this stuff. We get words added to our vocabulary all the time, but most of them now is because of the electronics age that we live in. But here is Lamentations It's 7015, and the word is kenal. The word there is kenal. And it's a deal of how a man gets in a situation and he gets down to where he's beating his breast or he's beating on instruments. He's making noises that I don't know if it gives him some type of peace, inner peace, or what. But the Lamentations and these people certainly had reason to look at themselves and to judge themselves, to chant or wail or whatever you call it, and to realize that they have done themselves great wrong. And also there was Mornings, and Mornings is 1899, and that's Hege. And that's a muttering thought or tale. And I'm sure there were a lot of Mornings, because a lot of these people that were carried away into exile, many of their families didn't get to go. And they were separated, and many of them died in the land. And so then you've got some that are continually dying while they're in exile. So there's a lot of things concerning mourning that we could look at and suggest that maybe, you know, a lot of these people may be sorry for the deeds that went on in their life. You know, even as this Ezekiel is being sent to give them some hope. But we already know by the word of God how long they're going to be out of their land. And so it's, some of them may not live to make it back there, but some of them will. But God is going to raise up these people to reinsert them back, and they will have the ability to do the things that needs to be done to get the temple area going again in that situation. And it talks about the woe there. So the woe and the Lamentations can kind of like fit in together, because I think if you're going to see somebody that's wailing or chanting or beating their breast or sitting around muttering and talking to themselves, you're going to realize that it is a woeful thing, that this is not a wonderful place to be. And so, you know, that kind of helps. It kind of helps you a little bit to understand the situation that they find themselves in. So let's continue on and go to 3, because at least through verse 9, chapter 3 continues on with this preparation that Ezekiel is being prepared to go to these people and talk to them about. Because 3 starts out with the word moreover. And moreover means to keep going. It does, in my mind anyway. So Jehovah says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So continuing on, moreover, continuing on. He, Jehovah, said unto me, Son of Man. And this is the fourth usage here in the book of Ezekiel. And it's used 100 times. Talk about Son of Man. Adam. Adam was given dominion. And Adam lost it. But there is one coming that will get it back. And he says, eat that thou findest. He says, you know, eat that thing. Eat this roll and go. Speaking to the house of Israel. So the eat there is 398 in the Strong's. And it's alcohol. And it means to digest this foreknowledge. Or for to power up or burn up. So the hand that brought it down, Jehovah's telling them to eat that you found. Eat that's been rolled out in front of you. Eat this roll or eat this scroll and go. And go there is 3212, Yoach. That's our study word. And in those days and times, to go meant to walk. Generally speaking, it meant to walk. But God here is directing him to go. Regardless of where he walks or where he thumbs or catches a ride on a cart or a sled or whatnot being pulled by some animal, he is going for the cause of God. I like to say walk. Yoach, the Hebrew. And he says, speak unto the house of Israel. Speak my words unto the sons of Israel, because the house of Israel is the sons of Israel. They are those that were chosen. And this is all of Israel, not necessarily the divided bunch. We seem to tend to think that when he's speaking there, and these were carried away from the area of Mount Moriah, and they were carried away from the area of Jerusalem, that the other 10 tribes were not there. But they intermingled, they married each other. And so you can't say that it was just a line of Benjamin or just a line of one of the other Judah or one of the other tribes, but it was all of Israel, the house of the sons of Israel. And I think we can't really dwell on that too little, because God was offering his people a time and a place and a way back. So in verse 2, this is Ezekiel talking here. He said, so I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. Or eat that scroll. So I opened my mouth. I obeyed Jehovah. For he, Jehovah, caused me to eat or to give me the ability to eat that which is not food. That roll. Well, we think, well, if it was a roll, it might be a good sweet roll. But no, it was a scroll written on both sides. The words of God, the prophecies of God, the things that he was to digest. How great it is that God can use that as a tool, because you see, Christ did not come yet, and Christ did not promise them the Spirit until he came and finished his work. And it was only, you know, it was only at Pentecost until the Spirit indwelled. But guess what? Adam had a place within him that God could live through the Spirit. And man has always had that. But you see, that was part of the glorious gift that God was going to give to man. And so he uses other things, and this is one way that he did it. So Ezekiel had the ability to eat that which was not food, the scroll. In verse 3, and it says, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Yep, kind of like the others. And he said unto me, or that Jehovah instructed me, saying, and this is the fifth son of man, or the son of Adam, that we find here. And he says, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels. Cause thy belly to eat. That's not unusual, is it? Well, yes and no. God didn't use it many times, but he used it. And that is to digest and to receive knowledge. Does that make sense to you? Yes, to me. And fill, or sate, means to fill full thy bowels. And the bowels is plural here. And the word is 4578 in the Strong's, and it's maal. And it means intestines. Not just your belly, not just your stomach, but it is all that makes up your dietary tract. So it sated the entire inner being of Ezekiel, the way I see it. And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee, or that scroll that you got from the hand that I sent. Amen. He said, then did I eat it. And this is Ezekiel's words to us. And if you don't get anything else in the study today, I want you to get this. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. This is God's word we're talking about. And it tasted sweet as honey in my mouth. When you open God's Word, do you get the sweetness of what's there? If not, we need to get down on our knees and get with it. Because that's what God's Word is. It is sweeter than anything you will ever know, is God's Word. Does that make sense? And it can mean, yes, it can mean even the womb. So you see, we need to never forget that as we have God's Word in our hand, we have the sweetness of one that loves beyond any kind of love we can understand. Praise God. Okay, let's go on. And he said unto me, verse 4, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Sometimes these verses seem to be a little redundant or big, used over and over again. But Jehovah now is talking to me, and he says, Son of man, this is Ezekiel. And this is the sixth time that the Son of Man is used right here in early on. And he says, go, Yahweh, under my directions, you go. Get thee. Or to bond with. Get thee into the house of Israel. Bond with the sons of Israel, all that are in Abraham that I have chosen. And speak my words unto them. So the need for this being repeated again, in a sense, is inspiration and hope for these people in exile that are Jehovah's words. And nobody can deny now that they don't have a prophet outside the land in the area of Babylon. Inspiration and hope is what's being given here. It's Ezekiel's voice. And it's Ezekiel's pen. But it's Jehovah's words. Amen. Sure it is. Verse 5. And it says, For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. If you look back and you go back and you find that when Nebuchadnezzar went there, or sent there, and got that first group, and carried him out of the Jerusalem area into the land of Babylon, he took with him people that were smart, the smarts of Israel, because he wanted to understand the language. But here you have the fact that God, Jehovah, is telling Ezekiel, don't worry about them. you worry about those that I have chosen. He says, for thou art not sent. Your instructions, Ezekiel, are to a people, to God's people, not a people that are holding them, or not a people of strange speech. And strange there is 6012 in the Strong's, and it's Almach. And it's deep. It means deep. There is a strange speech that is deep. And the speech there is 8193. And as I said earlier, the higher the number in the Hebrew, it seems like the worse it gets. And the strange speech there is deep, bare, or vain words. The strange means deep. The speech means bare or vain words. There. Everything is in the open. It's laid out. And if you like it, okay. If you don't like it, they don't care. And it says, with strange speech and of a hard language. And and it means heavy or numerous in a bad sense. So, the strange, the deep, the bare, the vain words, and it's all in a bad sense, heavy. That's who's holding them. But his instructions was but to the house of Israel. Those that were chosen as the offspring of Abraham. Verse 6 says, not to many people of a strange speech. In verse 6, and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand, surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Oh. So his focus right now is getting his people back at the appointed time, back into the land that he had promised them. Okay. Not to many people or peoples of a strange speech or a deep speech and of a hard or heavy language whose words you can't understand or you can't comprehend. If you talk to them, you can really understand whether you were getting to them or not. But he said, surely I had sent thee to them. So he said, it's a fact, though, that if I had sent you to them, they or the strangers would have hearkened or would have been willing at least to listen to you. Boy, how great is that? He said, I'm not sending you to them, but if I were to, they'd probably listen. So you wonder if that's a little bit of God's indignation coming out, or, why would that information be needed, even today? Well, it's needed more today than it's ever been. Verse 7 says this, "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." So in verse 7 says this, the house of Israel, he's talking about God's choosing through Abraham's bloodline, will not listen. To you, or will not hearken. They will not be willing to listen to you, for they will not hearken unto me. So, God's chosen through Abraham wouldn't listen to God, so they're not going to do very much with Ezekiel either. Said they'll not hearken unto you, for they would not hearken unto me. They're not willing to hear my words. They're just not interested in what God has to say. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. So you see, God's chosen. They're not going to listen. He said they're impotent, and we went over that early on when we started the study today. They're impotent and hard-hearted. They're hard, stubborn lot, and they're hard-hearted. And it means that they are hard of face. Shameless and bold, that's the reason. And they have a rigid resolute. They're so stubborn, they're just full of it. But you see, the hardness God is going to give to Ezekiel. Let's look at verse 8. I'm running out of time. "Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads." You remember early on when we talked about don't be afraid of their appearance? Okay. Verse 8 says this, "Behold, for within you Ezekiel is strength." So God has given him this role to eat. Now he has wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And he also has strength, power. He says, "I have made that thy face strong." And Hazak is the word strong there. "I have made thy face strong against their faces." Stronger. Stronger. Or hard for endurance. And it has to be because of their stubbornness. And it says, "And thy forehead strong." And that's 46:96. So his face was set strong. And his head was set strong. His forehead against their foreheads. It was a very prominent brow, and it was stronger and more stubborn than any of those. And the word there is 8068. The word in the next verse, and this would be the last verse that we're going to take up, "as an adamant." What is an adamant? Adamant is a 8068. Again, you got the high number here. And it's Homer. It says, "Harder than flint I have made thy forehead." So he gives us some input into this too. And adamant harder means a diamond. A diamond is used for cutting or scratching. And, you know, we can buy tools that are diamond impregnated, that they're put in and molded within these fibers that man have come up with to cut things that couldn't ordinarily be cut. And so they're so hard-hearted and stiff-hearted that it takes something as hard as a diamond to move them. That makes sense, doesn't it? So as an adamant harder than flint, I have made thy forehead. For them not either be dismayed at their looks. And as we said earlier, looks can't hurt you. But it gives you a clue as to what is in their inner being. It says, though they be a rebellious house, and I have given you strength. Many times when you see the word rebellious house, it doesn't necessarily mean the entire nation. Because we learn a lot from the word house. House is another word that will go along with family. And we learn a lot from family. And the true Israelites were supposed to teach their children, to teach their sons and their daughters, how things is supposed to be with God. And in their house should be this devotion that they have to God who furnishes them all things. But these that Ezekiel are going to be dealing with are rebellious families, rebellious houses, if you will. And Jehovah says, Ezekiel, I've given you strength to take care of that. You've got it now within you. You've eaten the scroll, the roll. About ready to go down the road. I'm going to send you away. You're going to walk. Well, that turned out right on the dot. So thank you for being with me tonight. I hope that in some way, in some fashion, that it gives you understanding a little better of what is being said here, because quite often we don't look a lot of the stuff up that we need to look up as we go along and study to realize the implications of words, because words are important and God has left us His Word. And they are important. And they should be to us as honey. They should be sweet when we open the Word of God. It should be, that sweetness should come forth to us, because folks, and I don't have to tell you this, you know this, when we look, we see the Lord Jesus Christ just about on each and every page, almost in every verse. Wonderful thing it is to trust and to live for a God like that. Bow with me. Father, as we close, we come to this time that as we've had your word before us, And that word has brought us great joy, even in reading. And even though these people, many of them were in dire straits, but we still glean your love through these verses, that we understand and realize that God has not given up on his people, which he could have done over and over. And we realize the great love that lies within each and every word. And we ask that you'd give us further understanding, that we would get greater knowledge, that we could say that, yes, we know, Lord. And that we don't have to be an ashamed workman. We'd ask that you guide and bless us, Lord, as we go through the week. Be with those that are sick and afflicted with the problems of this old world. Father, be with those that are traveling, and especially those that are traveling to the Bible study. Lord, we'd ask that you'd give them a great time in your word, that when the word is opened by each and every one that is to speak, Lord, that it's sweeter than honey. And not only does it give the taste in the mouth, but it gives that great taste and strength all over these entire mortal bodies. Wish it could be there. But you know the need. You know our situation. Guide and bless. Watch over us. Give us traveling grace, those that are moving. Bring everyone back safe. Full of that you would have them to know. Lead, guide, and direct. In Christ's name we ask.